Hey guys, welcome back to the Not Without Merit podcast for a very special mid-season State of the Union, if you will, episode. I am Jake. With me is Mike.
What is up, everybody? And joining us, as always, is Ben.
We're going to talk about lots of games.
Yes, we are. And yes, with this being second week of July, what a better time to do this. This is a way pre-recorded in advance episode. I'll actually be on vacation during the time this airs, so what better time?
But this was the perfect one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this it actually worked out because, you know, right around the mid-year point. But yeah, we're going to start all the way back at the beginning of the year, go through all the notable releases so far that we've played, and then talk about those, talk about some games that weren't necessarily 2018 releases that we played, and then we're going to look ahead to the rest of the year, kind of what we're excited for and what we're looking forward to. So let's just jump right into it with the first big release. Maybe not big release, but maybe the most surprising release of the year, at least for me, was on January 25th, and that would be the release of Celeste. Yeah, I knew literally nothing about this game until it came out. Like, nothing, never heard of it, nothing. I watched one trailer and, like, 10 minutes of gameplay, and I was sold. And I'm glad I did, because it's an incredible platformer. Has a lot, it's kind of one of those high-difficulty platformers, maybe not in your Meat Boy kind of league, but not necessarily, like, match-for-match.
It's close. Difficulty. Those C-sides get really fucking hard.
It's kind of like a skilled platformer. Kind of. It's not something that's, like...
But this screams you.
Play casual. Oh.
Like, this was made for you.
Yeah, absolutely right up my alley. Yeah, great story, great artwork, incredible soundtrack. Still, I'd say, this is right as a... Right now, it's going to be like God of War versus Celeste for best soundtrack of the year, for sure. It's a foot race between those two.
Was Mummy this year, or was that the end of last year?
That was last year. That was 2017.
Yeah, Celeste,
yes.
I still can't believe Celeste was this year. I only played this game because of you.
I wouldn't shout about it because how much it blew my mind.
And I can't, like, I know you love pain in games. Yeah. The soundtrack's incredible. I know that you love pain in games. I'm not on your masochistic level for some of this stuff, but Celeste was well worth the playthrough.
Oh, come on. What are you talking about? As someone who's playing Enter the Gungeon on two different platforms at the same time right now.
Exactly.
But yeah. That was the first big release. Then we move ahead one day to Monster Hunter World. And I think
we can all attention.
Yeah, say all got our attention. The first Monster Hunter game I probably spent more than 5 hours playing ever, and I've played quite a few of those games. They just never clicked for me, and this game basically fixed all of the kind of mechanics and issues I've had with these games over the years, just not being very intuitive, not playing very well, considering the last however many have only come out on handhelds, and this being the first kind of main console release since, gosh, like the PS2.
It still played like a handheld, did it not?
Right.
They've never done, this was the first time they did like a real open world experience.
You're not breaking off into the numbered sections with loading screens in between, you know, it's like a full, like large area that you can scale seamlessly, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it still had a lot of those kind of issues when it comes to like partying up with people was an unnecessary hassle. Like the UI,
it was the Japanese party system.
Yeah,
where it was just awful.
The UI definitely could have been a little more slick and intuitive. You're just kind of buried in a lot of numbers and menus, and that game throws a lot at you. Like for as slow as it leads you into stuff, that game is dense. Like with all the different characters, you know, all the like weapon styles,
it's
and
basically an MMO.
Craft and,
it's like a mini MMO.
Yeah, it's like MMO, except you're playing with like up to three other people.
And that's the thing. I think that we all stopped playing because everybody kind of fell off. Game is so much fun with friends. I think that it's hard to play. Well, some of our friends can play it solo, but
like, if not everyone's kind of on the same page and you got, people are jumped ahead 20 or 30 levels and then you're behind. So it's like, can't really play with people because then it's all, but I think at least for me personally and probably Ben too, Fortnite totally killed my Monster Hunter playing. Like, I'm sure I would have dropped off by now.
That's true.
But
I
would have at least probably gotten another month or two out of the game before I finally like slowed down.
Fuck
on
you,
it.
Fortnite.
Like, Fortnite totally, like, killed this game dead in the water. I mean, I put 60, 70 hours in it, so I don't feel like cheated or anything.
No,
I still had a fantastic time with the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that game is more than... And it was my first real Monster Hunter game, because I had messed around a little bit. Yeah, and it was fun. I think you guys are starting to fall off Fortnite a little bit, too, now, too.
Yeah, so. I mean... Well, it's summertime. I think once fall hits, there's going to be way too many games to just to keep playing Fortnite and pretend nothing else happens. Like, no, that's Fortnite will slow down, but yeah, I'll still probably keep playing it well into the end of the year. Next up into March, we have Burnout Paradise Remastered, another kind of long rumored but out of nowhere announcement. And yeah, it was the game that is exactly as advertised. It is a remastered version of Burnout Paradise. It was still just as fun to play now as it was way back when it first released. Remastered, yeah. I mean, some of those textures were still kind of rough, but the cars still looked incredible. The crashes were still great. Still had, you know, great
soundtrack was still intact, which was amazing to me that they retained all those rights.
Online was still a blast. Not as big of an online presence as I imagined. Like, the probably like week or so I was dipping into online, there were maybe, I don't know, 10 or so lobbies running at any one time. So not,
don't forget, we presence. Got that really rare lobby of like 8 bikes for like a half an hour.
True. I mean, and you know, who's to say people are just playing private lobbies with their friends and such. And not to mention that game is like, I don't feel like you would lose any of the experience if you never even played online once. There's a shit ton to do online, and it's a blast. But just playing as a single-player game, I don't think it cheapens the experience by
skipping
online whatsoever.
I would agree.
I just hope that sold enough and did well enough that maybe they'll realize that maybe we should.
I mean, they've talked about it forever.
Instead of Need for Speeds.
And there's no Forza competitor on...
I mean, there's no, like... Like, the arcade racing genre.
Yeah, the open world.
Crew 2 is out there.
Especially, well, I mean, okay, so there's
But it's going to be exactly like
the
Crew 1.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Crew 2, but I'm just saying, like, as far as open world racers, there's literally, you know, Xbox has Forza Horizon and the Crew, and then PlayStation is literally all you have is the Crew. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Crew's a fine game, but not to mention Burnout is more of, like, arcade. Like, way over the top, like, crashes.
Or combine,
like,
the two.
You can't
and
get
a couple...
that experience with the Crew. Not even close.
And Forza gives you both arcade and sim. Like, I talked about this a couple weeks ago on the podcast, where with Test Drive Unlimited on 360, like, that was the best combination of arcade and open. It was the closest thing to Forza you were going to get. Although, again, that was on 360, so it was on Xbox. It was on a Microsoft console.
Right. But yeah, I think that genre, I mean, it's hard because, I mean, no racing games that aren't Forza or Gran Turismo aren't really like huge sellers at all, just ever. That's just how those games are. So I know it's hard probably for a lot of developers to justify making a racing game, but Burnout Paradise 2, I'm there day one if that ever becomes a thing. Absolutely. Next up in March, we have on the 27th, Far Cry 5, a game that I have not played a single second of, so I will let you two give your thoughts on that game since you both played it.
I thought it was a very pretty game.
I'll say that for both of you, it was your first Far Cry, right? Neither of you played one
before?
Well,
no, it was my first open world. I played 1 and 2.
Oh, you
played
the original, which are radically different than... 3, 4,
oh, yeah,
five,
you had, like,
five.
Special powers, and they were actually story-based games. It was very, very different. But I never played 3, 4, or Primal, so this was, like, my first jump into these style of Far Cry games.
I liked how they just really dove into the side stories. I thought there was a lot of depth in them.
That was the strongest part about that game, I thought.
Right, because there was just like, go meet up with this person, and you go, and you're thinking it's just some stupid fetch quest, but it was some really in-depth.
The world felt very populated, which was really, really nice. It wasn't just barren shit, like, driving for miles. There were people everywhere, you were always running into things to do. Yeah, the side stuff was, I agree with you, Ben, the strongest part of that game.
I definitely highly recommend you going through it. grab it on the cheap sometime.
Like, oh yeah, I mean that's. Yeah. I mean, I played. It's I really loved. I loved 3. I liked 4. There, it was. It was just a matter of I was playing so much of the time, like I had no reason to run out and get it. That's on the upcoming backlog, which I have a list of games I missed from 2018 that I do want to play.
The
already,
story
so
just takes it's a lot of dips and
I mean, yeah, 3 and 4. The story it had its ups and downs.
Yeah, and Ben and I differ on the ending, so that's fine.
And moving right along into April, we have another game that the two of you have spent some time with. Or I should say, not the two of you. Jake specifically has spent a lot of time with Ben, maybe, depending on how he plays through 0 right now. Yakuza 6.
Yeah.
Jake,
I finished this.
The best
I platinum
one?
This.
Is this
no.
the best one?
No, 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 no. not by a long shot. Zero's much. Well, yeah, okay. I'll give my mini thing, like I said a couple weeks ago when I platinum this game. So, 6 rivals 5 and 0 in the amount of side content you can do. So, if you love Yakuza, I always have to make sure I pronounce that correctly. If you like Yakuza sides content, which is, I think, some of the best stuff in the game, then 6 is right up there. Because, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, you have the baseball stuff, you have the dating, you have all the crazy shit that you can do. And it's really, really fun. Story-wise, it's not even in the top 3. It's still a great game, but they really...
Nice.
Zero's better, Kiwami's better, and Kiwami 2, which comes out at the end of July, is better. I would say it's 4th. Because I didn't love 4. I didn't love 5 as much as other people, and nobody likes 3. So... but Kiwami and Kiwami 2, and Kiwami 2 is coming out in July, are, I think, superior games. But as far as like a Yakuza game as a whole, if you include side content and story and all that stuff, it was in the top 3. I would say 6, 0, and Kiwami are probably, maybe Kiwami 2, are in my top 3. So overall, it was a great game. It's going to get the nod for a lot of categories. I don't think it should win Game of the Year. I think God of War has that locked up, which we'll come up on. But yeah, overall, great Yakuza game. Great ending to the story that we've been spending so much time with Kiryu and Haruka. And it was great. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and like you said, we'll be coming right up along on God of War because that released a mere 3 days later on April 20th. And yeah, you want to talk about great games. I mean, shit, I think...
Red Dead's the only chance to beat it out for Game of the Year.
I think. Personally, like, maybe Hollow Knight might take it, but as other than that...
Did Hollow Knight come out this year, though?
Well, I mean, if we want to get technical, it was console debut this year. It came out on PC last year, so if we want to get into the nitty-gritty...
All right.
What's the official release date of a game? But, I mean, yeah, if I took Hollow Knight out of the equation, then it's easily God of War. It's, like, the best game I've played so far this year, and, yeah, just... For what that series was, I mean, I played 3, I think like a couple weeks or a month before God of War came out, and that was like my first proper playthrough of any God of War game. I mean, I played the PSP ones a little bit, but I never finished either of them, so... And that, I mean, just going into the contrast of how that game was to this game, I mean, it's rare to see a series evolve in that kind of way and still, like, be awesome. Like, that's the combat, like, completely changed, like, the story, like, way more serious and not just this over-the-top, like, sex-crazed and violence-crazed and...
Oh, it still had whatever. The violence in there.
Okay, yeah, I'd say the violence.
There was a story surrounding it.
Not as gratuitous
that was...
as, like, previous games.
Oh, no. He wasn't seeking it out, that's for sure.
No, yeah, I didn't say that's true, very much. He didn't kind of have, like, a bloodlust as he did in the older games.
I think the storytelling was the strongest part about what they've completely transformed. Because there's a story in the first 3 games, but it's very loose.
It's not very hard to understand. Simple and to the point.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of depth. It's like, okay, you know, family's dead. He goes on a revenge tour for 3 games, killing everyone.
And it's a blood and gore fest, and that's what you expect because you want a hack and slash. And I think the biggest surprise to me when I started really diving into God of War is, wow, this writing is unbelievable.
Yes.
Like, the dialogue is super great. The story they're telling is really interesting. I'm super fascinated.
The interactions between him and the kid are, like, really well done.
Also, it's my fourth game with Kratos, and now I'm starting to get involved in him. Like, I'm really starting to care about him now. Yeah. And it
I'm
really,
right there with you.
They're just laying it on thick, and I love it. And again, I said this when it came out. If it takes 6 years to make God of War 5, fine. Just make it as good as this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say a sequel is not only by how well the game was received, but how
They already announced the game. Ended. I mean, they announced when they made this game. It's a new trilogy.
Yeah, it's a foregone conclusion. Yeah, there will be a God of whatever they call it, God of War 2 or whatever. That yeah, I could not be more excited.
Oh yeah, I didn't
for
think about that
because
they just named it God of War. I wonder, maybe they'll give it a subtitle. Like
possibly.
God of War something,
I mean,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah. We'll have to wait and see. On
I don't want to say anything I could be thinking because it could ruin.
Right. Yeah.
Stuff.
No. Yeah. I'll say we could really dance around. dance around the. Spoilers.
It was on the tip of my tongue, and then I fell back at the last second. Yeah, I think this game's going to go down as one of the best in this generation. I mean, Jake's storytelling was so well done. Just it was constant. I mean, if you're going in between areas. You were getting, you know, lectured by the head and, you know, or the little kid and Kratos would talk. And then you get into some sweet fighting and then they're just back to BSing with each other and you're interested in all of it. And there's interesting side stories everywhere and you learn so much more about other characters in this world. So give me some more of this and like you guys said, just make it really good. Take all the time you need.
Absolutely. And skipping ahead to May 24th, we get Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, I guess you can call it spinoff of the upcoming Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. Ben, you are the only one out of all of us.
Yeah, this is your department.
I have it on my Switch ready to go, but Hollow Knight kind of interrupted all the progress in that game. I have it. Yeah. I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, it's, 2D platformer. Just think Castlevania 3 from the Nintendo. You can
down to the graphics and everything too.
Oh yeah,
got the whole 8-bit thing going. Yeah.
But the main game's not going to be like that, right?
It's
going to be more Symphony of the Night.
Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Like when you play Bloodstained, the new one, you're gonna feel like you're playing Symphony of the Night again. I played the pre-alpha demo from years ago on PC and it was like I never put down Symphony of the Night.
That's all we really want, right? That's the reason.
This is
got
official Symphony of the Night too. That's basically what this game is.
I don't need them to make a new game. I just want more of Symphony of the Night. It's that simple. This Bloodstained, it's a good challenge. The gameplay is really easy to pick up and play. I think I'm in the last dungeon. I don't know. I keep getting my ass kicked by this boss, and it's making me mad.
Yeah,
I took a little break.
Those bosses can be pretty tough.
Oh yeah, and areas. I mean, every character has some kind of trick of getting through an area really quick, so you can avoid a lot of fighting, which is very, very useful in those later stages because some of these stages can get hectic quick.
Yeah.
So get on that, Mike.
I will. Like I said, once I clear out Hollow Knight, that is the next game I'll be playing on my Switch. Moving right along to a mere one day later, we have Dark Souls Remastered, the other big remaster to come out so far in 2018. And Jake, you are the one who has spent some time in this game. Does it hold up? 10 years? No.
Yeah, it's 2011.
Okay, 7 years later. 7 years later, does it hold up?
So, I said this when I first started playing it. By the way, I'm in the DLC now, which I never beat the first time. That shit is really fucking hard.
Yep.
Super unforgiving. Mm-hmm. But once I'm done with that, I can do New Game Plus 2 and 3 and get my plat. So, if you played this on PC ever with DS Fix, which is a patch. What is it, Mike? It's a patch that.
It's like an unofficial
patch. It's an unofficial
patch. But it doesn't, affect.
Right.
gameplay. It's more of like graphical and frame rate.
It's essentially what Dark Souls Remastered is.
Yes.
For console.
Right.
Although they also released it on PC. So for me personally, I only ever played it on 360. So for me, $40, 100% worth it, because 60 frames per second, better, you know, better looking environments.
You getting to play the DLC for the first time.
DLC is nice too. Yeah, I mean, it's just an overhauled version.
Yeah, and it's just nice to have all three games available on one platform.
Right, and that's really nice too. And here's hoping to they ever make a Demon's Souls, but they, you know, they shut down those servers. Some people assume because they want to start up the PS4 servers, but I don't think they're ever going to remake Demon's Souls.
I don't think it's popular enough. Window has closed.
Yeah, same. But I would say, yeah, the short of it is if you played it on PC with DS Fix, you don't need it. But if you played it on console only, without 60 frames a second, without, like, kind of the remastered textures and stuff like that, it was worth it. And if you love Dark Souls, like, if you just love Dark Souls, like, I was going to play it regardless. So if you love Dark Souls, it's worth it. And the big reason to play it, especially for me, is there's an online community now. Because if you really like Dark Souls 1 and you like playing online, there wasn't much of a community because it's such an old game.
Right.
This is a rebirth for, you'll probably have another couple months out of it. I would say, you know, you get 6 to 8 months out of it before the casuals fall off. But overall, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's Dark Souls franchise. You know what you're getting into. Moving on to what has become seemingly a E3 tradition now of announcing and releasing a game on the spot. Bethesda did that with Fallout Shelter, making its debut on both Switch and PS4 for its first time. And it has taken Ben by surprise, who has spent quite a bit of time playing Fallout Shelter. What do you think of Clickers now?
Way more time in this than I ever thought I would, that's for damn sure. It's a nice, you know, time waster, you know, clicker, what have you, whatever the hell those games are called, but
idle game clicker. Yeah.
Yeah. You just sign in once a day, twice a day, however, and you just trigger a whole mess of options in the game and then you turn it off, come back and wait for all your timers to go down and come back and redo it. So I'm well over 100 settlers now. I passed that over the weekend, and I've just blown into the 100s. And, you know, shit's getting a lot harder. More Deathclaw attacks. A lot of my quests involve going after Deathclaws. To manage the resources, it's getting a little more difficult with all the different people and all the new rooms I've got to build to hold all the people. I've got so many people walking around doing nothing. It's driving me crazy. But I can't imagine playing this on a phone or a tablet because there's this... It gets so big. You have to, like, zoom in and out on these little rooms.
Yeah, it's probably a lot of, like, pinch and zoom type of stuff.
Yes,
but
I would lose my mind. I'd lose my mind playing on giant TV. I can't even imagine doing this on my little phone. So hats off to those people who can cruise through these kind of games on their phone. I couldn't do it. But it's free.
Yeah, I would say it's a free game. Yeah, so if idle clicker type games are up your alley, it's available now. Now it's available on literally every gaming platform you can think of, so go check it out.
Oh, there is one quest line that I like doing. It's called Lose Your Head. So you send out three settlers to do the Raider game show where they ask you Fallout trivia. If you get it right,
all right, that's awesome.
You move to the next room. If you get it wrong, they attack you.
that's pretty funny.
Good. I really like that.
So before we move on,
I'm pretty impressed that I've been able to remember so much Fallout lore. So I can't wait for Fallout Shelter.
Before we keep going forward, there are two games that I want to mention that neither of us played that I intend to get to eventually that have gotten decent praise, and that's Vampyr, which I don't think either of you have any interest in, no?
Not from what I've seen, not so much, no.
Did either of you ever play Vampyr the Masquerade Chronicles on PC, like back in the day?
Nope.
Nah, I've heard of them, but I've never played them.
Right, and that's the reason I want to play Vampyr, because it seems to play very much like that. And a lot of people ragged on it because of the heavy dialogue and stuff like that, and how there wasn't a lot of gameplay compared to dialogue, but I'd be okay with that, especially if it's on sale. That's probably like a Black Friday pickup down the line. And then the other one is Detroit, because are any of us ever going to play that? I know I'm not.
I will. It's on my wish list.
Really?
Like, for the right price?
You're going to David Cage it out? Yeah. Well,
I didn't have any problems with Heavy Rain.
We're about to get a free copy of Heavy Rain, what, tomorrow?
We talked about it
being pre-release. Nice. That's another fucking game I won't play by David Cage because I tried. I don't know. But, yeah, Vampyr I do intend to get to because it looks interesting enough.
Fair enough.
But I know you weren't going to bring it up just because neither of us played it, or none of us played it.
But the last game before we get to kind of where we are now would be the other kind of big surprise E3 release, which would be Hollow Knight making its debut on the Switch. This was announced, I believe, even before the Switch was even released as a game that was in development and coming to the Switch. So this has been long anticipated by many people, considering this is also its console debut, and it lives up to the hype. As far as like tough Metroidvanias go, like I put this like probably as right now, probably right up there with Salt and Sanctuary, and at the rate it's going, I'd say it's going to blow right past Salt and Sanctuary. And just in general, as far as Metroidvanias, it's definitely going to be probably top three, if not top five, of like all the ones I've ever played.
Is it better than Guacamelee for you?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. But
just the
I mean, I've style I've watched and a the lot music of this, and the gameplay. It's just so good. It's just so damn good. It's like, if you're even remotely interested in that type of genre, just go play that game right now. Because it lives up to all the hype that people give around it. It's just
Mail me your Switch when you're done with it. I'll check it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, be right there.
I'll get Octopath Traveler, and then I'll send it back with you, and then we'll both have played both this year, and we'll both be happy.
For sure. Absolutely. So that brings us to the present, and that's a pretty decent first half. Has anyone played any non-2018 games they want to kind of champion and rave about for a hot second?
I'll talk about a few. I'm going to pull up my... let me pull up my trophy list, because that's the easiest way for me to keep track of games that I've played.
That's exactly what I've got up right now, too.
Yeah. Okay, so... let's see. I started the year with... what was the new... so Far Cry 5 was the first new game of the year that I started with. We talked about that. That was in March. God of War. Okay, so I played DMC, which was the red-haired stepchild that Devil May Cry doesn't want to acknowledge, but
it's one of the best ones.
Yeah, I mean, I was prepared for, look, the story, everybody told me it was, like, kind of over the top and very, you know, not Devil May Cry, and it was decent. I didn't hate it. I had fun with it. The best part about it is the gameplay in those games remains the same regardless, and it feels super good. So that was a blast. I really enjoyed the shit out of it. Celeste, I got back into Neo this year, and I played the DLC, which I'd never touched. That was incredible. I think Neo would probably be my number two game of the year from last year, move its way up from, it was probably like fifth or fourth, but I think it would be my second behind Yakuza Zero. I think Neo is one of the best games of that genre. I think that it does everything so well, and the DLC just nailed it. And at E3, we got a crazy Neo 2 announcement. I mean, I'm sure it's not coming out until forever, but I'm really excited because it really reinstilled Neo into me. I played the entire season 2 of Batman Telltale series that kind of came out over between last year and this year. It was good. I reviewed it whenever I played it, like, on the podcast months ago, that I thought the ending kind of fell apart. But it's good to see that they're doing things with the engine, and they did announce recently that they're going to be using a new engine going forward. So at least they're taking steps in the right direction, because the storytelling is never the problem in Telltale games. It's just the performance, unfortunately. Yep. So And then the last one, and actually I have two most recent, Dying Light, which was a blast. I tried it the first time, I got motion sickness. I tried it again and kind of focused on something in the background or something that I could on not pay attention to the head bob mechanic, which, by the way, if you're going to have that in your game, you should always have an option to turn it off, because just like there should always be a colorblind option, always cater to people that may have an issue with something that you're going to put in your game, because it may make the game unplayable. But anyway, yeah, it was great. The story was wah, but we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And it is what it is. And then Dead by Daylight's my most recent, and I'm really, really loving that. Way more than I expected to. Yeah. Those are the games that I would like to say good things about.
All right. Yeah, I got two pretty much, the only two I really want to point out. Prey, which you've heard me speak about the last few episodes, and yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, you're going to have a great time with that game, and yeah, just like I said, I've spoken many positive things over the last few episodes about it, so I won't add much to that. And one that was a PlayStation Plus game, I want to say for either December of last year or January, which was Rime. It is a puzzle adventure game. And I thought it was, you want to talk about great soundtracks and just very, just beautiful game. Very,
visuals are like, really cool too.
Heart-wrenching story. Like it was just, yeah, just a very great, like one of those great experiences you have with a game. So yeah, those were the two kind of really big standouts as far as games I played that didn't come out in 2018. What about you, Ben? You got any?
I've got a handful here. I did start up another save of Skyrim this spring on a cold, rainy day. I've gotten into the mood and fired up a new character. I haven't played in a couple weeks, but I got a couple new trophies in the PS4 version that I totally forget I can get trophies in this game because I've played it so many times, so that was a nice surprise. I did start and finish Rise of the Tomb Raider, which came out a few years ago, but it was on sale, so I snagged it and played through it, and it is just more Tomb Raider, which is not a bad thing. I enjoyed it, and I guess I'm looking forward to the next one. I'll probably wait and get it later like I did with this one, because there really wasn't a jump in gameplay from the first one to the second one. It really is just all about the story and the set pieces for me with the Tomb Raider. I'm not about to go hunt around for every little hidden piece of what have you on a map. That's just crazy. I couldn't do it for Assassin's Creed, and I'm not going to start doing it for Tomb Raider. And, of course, just recently I've started up Yakuza 0. It's a lot of fun. I'm in Chapter 5 now. I have gotten through the intro of the character that you guys had mentioned before, and I will agree that was pretty amazing. That was fun to watch. Yeah. And like honestly, the beginning of Chapter 3, like that was almost 20 minutes of just cutscenes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's,
I couldn't believe that it took that long.
Be prepared.
I do anything.
Be prepared for that later in the game. Like, as the story progresses, it becomes very Metal Gear Solid-ish, where you're going to have, like, 30 to 45-minute cutscenes. Yeah, I know, because the storytelling is fucking incredible.
Yeah, everything's been really good so far. And, yeah, his chapter was definitely a lot more interesting, I thought, than Kiryu's. And
yeah.
He's
a more interesting character, I think.
Yeah. That so far I will agree with that. His little neck of the woods has been a lot of fun. And some of the side stories I run into have been kind of ridiculous, but a lot of these games, you know, I've played in the past just have that really ridiculousness to them. It's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to playing some more over the next few weeks. And that's it for me on old games.
All right. Now we will move forward to what's upcoming for the rest of 2018. First off, we will have 20XX coming out on July 10th. This is an independent game that is, for all intents and purposes, a roguelike in the style of a Mega Man game, down to the art style and gameplay. So I think that speaks for itself.
I had somebody in my chat talking about this yesterday when I was streaming, just like praising this game.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's making its console debut on July 10th. It's already out on PC, so this will be its first time on console.
Has it gotten reviewed that well?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like it's one of those games where, like, if that's what you're into, this game.
I mean, Mega Man and Rogue combined sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of just, you know, like the whole procedurally generated levels and all that, and yeah, you got your character abilities.
In what sense is it Mega Man?
Gameplay style, where even like the art is very similar to a Mega Man look.
Are
it
you
has a Mega Man
robot
look
dude?
To it. Yeah, you're like a robot guy. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to go look up footage.
Yeah,
it's actually
go check this game out. I feel like this is something that definitely be up your alley. Moving forward to July 13th, we have two pretty big Nintendo Switch releases. First off, we have the re-release on the Switch of Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker, coming straight from one of their many Wii U ports they brought over to the Switch, along with
That's
Octopath
a surprisingly addicting game, by the way.
Yeah, I've looked into that game. That game looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely going to be on my short list of Switch games to look out for. And also coming out that day is Octopath Traveler. Another game that, yeah, I'm very excited to play. It's nice to see the Bravely Default people working on a new game that's not just Bravely Default 3. I feel like, having not even played the second one, I wasn't really in the mood for that game all over again. And I know they just did release their prologue demo at E3. I have not played that one, but I did play the demo they released, I believe, late last year, and that almost basically sold me on the game right then and there. So this is definitely one I'm looking forward to in the near future.
I'm definitely going to steal my brother's Switch at some point and play this. I got a friend through work who's beyond hyped for this game. He's played the hell out of the demo. He won't shut up about it. He sends me like links to videos and stuff about this game constantly. So it is high on my list of anticipated releases, even though I don't own the console to play it on, but I am still very interested in what this game has to offer. It just looks really cool.
Yep. I mean, there's Switches out there.
I'm not buying a Switch again.
You can always buy it. I mean, you should have kept it. You missed out. You never even played Mario Odyssey.
If it was, no.
Mm-hmm. Fine.
If Breath of the Wild wasn't so bland, I might have kept it, but...
Okay, moving on to August. August 10th, specifically, with the early release of Madden 19.
Wait, there's one in July that you missed. Mega Man X Collection.
Oh, yeah.
July 24th.
X Collection's out in July. I thought that came out in August, too. I must have missed that one.
Are you getting that?
I feel 20XX is going to fill my Mega Man need for the foreseeable future.
So I know, this is just a recommendation to you. I know you're the bigger, like, old school Mega Man fan, and I'm the bigger X fan. If you're gonna get a collection, and you want to really enjoy the games, get the first set, which is, I think, 1 through 5, or is it 1 through 4?
I don't know how they've split them up.
Get the first set. Get the one that has X, X2, X3, and to some extent, X4. And if it has X5, that's great, but get the first set. I think you'll enjoy the Super Nintendo versions much more than you will enjoy the later weird, quirky versions.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah, I'll keep it. Yeah, it's just, had 20XX not be coming out, I probably would be all over the X Collection.
I have my eye on that game. Now that you've mentioned it and the person, like, I'm very curious to see.
Yeah,
but it,
definitely look at it.
Playing those old games, there's no comparison. Like, if you like those old games, I want those old games again.
Absolutely. Yes, getting back to August. Yeah, August 10th is Madden 19, which, I mean, goes without saying that, Ben, you are very excited for this game, as am I, with all the improvements and changes and for how much I thoroughly enjoyed last year's, just between, like, Ultimate Team and just kind of getting back into football games. I mean, it's Madden. You're either into it or you're not.
Exactly. I'm just a franchise mode guy, so any improvements to that are welcome, and they really seem to be trying to overhaul a lot of the game. So
yeah,
I mean, I went deep into it a couple weeks ago. I'm going to get it day one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, give me more of that Madden.
Moving ahead to August 28th, we have the U.S. release of Yakuza Kiwami 2. This is the remastered, or I should say remake, whichever one I say is more of a remake of the original Yakuza 2 on PS4.
The Kiwami games are full-on remakes. So they've actually added in, apparently, some Majima content that wasn't in Yakuza 2, because he's such a popular character after 0 and 1. That's what I've heard.
Is this a day one buy for you, Jake?
Oh, God, yeah. This is a possibly stream at midnight game. I'll probably take the next day off. What day of the week is August 28th?
I'm going to guess it's a Tuesday.
It's either a Tuesday or a Friday. Let's hope it's a Friday. But if it's Tuesday, I may take that Tuesday off. Yeah, this is a day one buy. I played two.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I played 2 on PS2. It'll be nice to play this, the real, or emulator. But yeah, it'll be nice to play the full Kiwami version. And it's in the new engine. It's in the Yakuza 6 engine. So I'm kind of interested to see how a really old game is going to play in the brand new engine.
Yeah, definitely. Next up, we jump ahead into September. September 7th, with the release of Spider-Man exclusively to the PlayStation 4. And especially after their deep dive of the game at E3, it looks good. It looks like what you would hope a Spider-Man game in 2018 would be, which is basically play like Rocksteady Batman, but there's also web-slinging involved.
The movement looks really satisfying, and I think that's what everybody wants out of a Spider-Man game. So I think as long as they sell us on that point, I think everybody's going to be happy.
I think
and the story looks kind of cool. They're doing the Arkham thing of just throwing in like all major villains.
I'm fine with a side quest
for all the different villains. I'm okay with
when
that.
When you do that open world style game, that's kind of like what you have to do. Like if you were just chasing one villain the entire game, that I could see that'd be kind of bland. So
From their trailer, it seemed like there was going to be one person that was, like, fully in charge of everybody else. But, yeah, they're sprinkling in all your favorite villains.
Yeah. Next up, the following week, on September 14th, we have two releases. First being Shadow of the Tomb Raider, along with NHL 19. I know, Ben, you just said
guess
you were kind of...
Guess which one I'm getting.
Yeah. I say, you guys... Jake completely passed, and Ben, you just recently played Tomb Raider. I am personally excited for Shadow of the Tomb Raider, because I thoroughly enjoyed the first two games, and it's also not been... You know, it's been over a year.
A week since you played it. Yeah.
So, I'm definitely in on Shadow of the Tomb Raider. NHL 19, I mean... You know, we'll see. We'll see if there's a beta. We'll see and how it plays and all that. I'm not making any guarantees right now because
maybe we can Wolfenstein the Tomb Raider game and send it around.
There you go. I mean, if NHL 19's got to do a lot to earn my purchase, so as of right now, if I had to pick between the two, it'd definitely be Tomb Raider because I know that's a guaranteed enjoyable time. Where
isn't there
NHL
19
has a lot to prove?
Mode coming back. I thought you guys were all talking about that.
It seems like they alluded to adding like a story type mode in the game, but there was nothing official. It's just kind of what the trailer alludes to.
They haven't released any real concrete info yet. They've just said that they're overhauling a lot of the aspects and franchise, similar to like Madden, recruiting, scouting, that kind of thing. They wanted to overhaul because it was almost non-existent. You just told, all right, scout, Mr. Scout, go scout Russia for
goalies.
That
was very,
goalies.
Very basic.
That's it.
I just know the online was really janky, and that was what we all wanted to play together anyway.
Well,
the
online plays fine. Everything, like, we had no connection issues. Everything runs fine. It's the AI defense... not knowing how to move the puck up.
How to play hockey.
They will get the puck, they will stand there, not do anything, or they will skate into the goalie, depending on where they are on the ice. And that's absolutely unacceptable for a game like this. You are the only hockey game on the market, and you cannot get your defenseman to play defense properly in an online MMO. That is awful. So once they sort that shit out, yeah. There's no reason that we should not be playing that game because
but apparently it has been a big ask.
Yeah, exactly. They too busy improving. I don't know.
Card packs.
Ultimate getting team. More card packs. That was another thing they're adding. Money. The CHL, which is just your career hockey league. I guess I think that's what it's called. But CHL is going to be their pro thing from like their comparison to like the 2K series where you take your one player and you play on all the other game modes like the EASHL and the pickup games and the 3-on-3s and whatnot.
Yeah, it's like taking your guy from a nobody to like an all-star with some story behind it.
And you know, you all your EXP carries over from all the modes and you unlock hockey bags. And inside these hockey bags are cosmetics. Hockey bags sound like they're going to be easy to get, but...
But I wonder if it would be easier if you could just buy them.
I mean, it wouldn't be an EA game without loot boxes, so...
Hockey bags. That's true.
Excuse you. They're hockey bags.
Totally different. But you did miss out, Mike, on the 3v3 arcade that they added in there. That was a blast. I played a little bit with Penguin, I think, and we had a lot of fun playing that. That was great.
Yeah, it's not too bad when we only have to rely on one AI as opposed to three.
That's true.
Moving forward to our last September release, that would be on September 28th, we have Code Vein, the Dark Souls-esque style game. Yes.
I wrote it down as 27th. I wrote that
Bandai
down.
Namco. That might be like Japan release. And then at least North America releases.
It's probably the first. Oh yeah, that makes sense.
September 28th. Quietly excited for this game. Still, like we haven't seen an incredible amount for me to.
Did you ever watch that Ella stream that I sent you, where he played it for a couple hours?
I apparently did not.
Okay, you should watch it because he played through an entire area and a boss, and it looks awesome.
Okay, I mean, this is once I saw like the like reveal and like once they described what type of game this was, of like. This seemed like, okay, this is definitely a game that I'm going to be into, but it's just a matter of, like, the fall rush, like, this is where I start got to get picking and choosing.
Well, it comes out early enough.
Play. Well, we're going to get into October here, and, you'll be the judge.
Well, I'm just saying, if it's like a Souls, if people are calling it anime Souls, but if it is like a Souls game, a single playthrough would take, 20 to 40 hours, then that's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. Because we have a few mere days later, on October 2nd, we have the release of Mega Man 11. I mean, what's there to say? It's a new Mega Man game. Get to wash out that horrible taste of Mighty No. 9 out of everyone's mouths. Yeah.
Jesus.
Having an actual proper Mega Man sequel is always a good thing. A few days after that, October 5th brings us Assassin's Creed Odyssey, a game that I don't think many people asked for, and I personally am not too interested in.
Did you watch the game footage of it? Sit down and watch someone play it?
I watched the Ubisoft playthrough of it. And
no, there's more. There's a lot more that I know what you're talking about, Ben. It looks really good. It's just I wish they hadn't done it this quickly.
Yeah, have the problem that you guys have, that Ben, you have with Tomb Raider, is like, Origins is still fresh enough in my mind. Like, I don't feel the need to go back to this series yet. Like, that's why I was hoping this would be an every other year series, because that's the right cadence of, oh yeah, Assassin's Creed, I'm down for another one of those. It's already another one. Not so much. Maybe in a couple months after release, I'll be itching to play. But as far as like right in the heat of fall, yeah, I don't think so. Not for me, at least.
Having a Greek background, though, in that game does interest me. Like, settings can sometimes sell me on games. And that setting really sells. Because I love Greek mythology. And if they do what they did with Origins, they'll have some of that, like, kind of weird mythology in there, which could be really solid. I don't know. It's probably not a day one like Origins was, but I'll play it down the line.
I watched a lot of that gameplay footage, and it is seriously just a reskinned Origins. I didn't see anything gameplay-wise that was different. I was not sold on actually playing this game. Just do 2 years between releases. There's no rush for this game. No one's screaming for another Assassin's Creed game. Hell, just toss some DLC out for Origins. I'm sure you'll make a couple bucks off that.
Yeah, if they would have done another year of like DLC for Origins, I think that would have been a decent route to go. Take like the Destiny approach and go like, all right, main game, expansion, and you can do a new game after that, an expansion.
Yeah, not sold on Odyssey right off the bat.
Not yet. No rush. And now in what seems to be a race between these two companies on who can release their shooter first, we're going all the way up to early October now, as October 12th is going to bring us Call of Duty Black Ops 4. And that's going to be a game.
Call of Duty going to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
It's the same engine for the last 10 plus years, however the hell they've been making these games.
They kept all the things I didn't like about Black Ops 3 and got rid of all the things I liked. So that pretty much sums up my interest in Black Ops 4. Sorry that people couldn't get good at jumping high and wall running and complained about it. And yeah. Well, they gave you the boots on the ground for World War II, and well, you saw how the community reacted to that. So let's keep going down that road. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Black Ops 4 was
my
like
reaction
a total
is,
hoot.
I'm not going to play this game.
No fucks about this game.
That's
because
I know is getting this.
Yeah, because the week after is, if you want to do Boots on the Ground, this is the proper game to do it, because on October 19th, we get Battlefield 5. Yes, it is the old war style, but fuck, does that game look really good.
Have you been watching streams of this game? Because holy shit.
Yeah,
I didn't play Battlefield 1. Damn. Or whatever the fuck they renamed it, but I'm gonna play this shit.
Yeah, I mean they definitely lean more into like the whole like a lot more action oriented. Like it's, you know, time to kill has been increased. They kind of balanced a lot of the classes, so you're a lot, you know, people, you know, you're actually running out of ammo, so you know people have a reason to run support now. Everyone can revive everyone, but you can't revive someone as good unless you're a medic. So it seems to. Yeah, you know, lots of improvements to subclasses, so it seems like they're kind of getting the staleness out of their series, improving it a lot, so it's not just the whole, like, okay, half my team's a sniper, and they're all sitting out in the woods 200 miles away from everything. It's like, oh, great, now they realize, oh, yeah, I only have, like, 10 bullets before I run out of ammo. I gotta get into the action with, you know, with teammates and everything. So, yeah, and just, yeah, the game looks so good. Oh, my gosh, yeah, so excited to play that. Yeah, Battlefield 5
I'm
comes out.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm just afraid it'll be I'm afraid gameplay wise it'll be just like I mentioned before, just a reskin of Battlefield 1, with just different maps and some new mechanics to the gameplay.
I think it looks really pretty.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be a vast improvement over Battlefield 1, and plus the whole no season pass, all, you know, all maps and stuff coming free.
I'm going to play for like 2 weeks.
Whatever. 2 weeks is whatever. Well, maybe you are only going to play it 1 week, because the following Friday, we get Red Dead Redemption 2 on October 26th. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm in it to win it for Battlefield, but yeah, we'll see how many people. We might get a break out of some of y'all from Red Dead Redemption 2, which, I mean, shit, we've been looking forward to this game for fucking ever. So, what's more to say?
When did Red Dead 1 end? When did that come out? When did I beat that game? That's how long I've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
Red Dead 1 was 2007?
Yeah, I was going to say before 2010.
It won Game of the Year, so I'm trying to remember what year it was. Yeah. I think it was 2007.
Yeah, I believe that. Because it was before Grand Theft Auto 4, correct? Or after?
It was after 4, because they used the same engine.
Okay.
2010.
Oh, wow.
Oh, 2010. Oh,
damn.
So, yeah, 8 years.
Wow, that came out way later than I expected.
Wow. Damn. I don't feel like it's been 8 years.
I thought that was a much... Yeah. Damn. All right.
Incredible. Yeah, just... Yeah. It's going to be game of the year, contender, without question, and...
I I think with how well GTA 5 performed and how many people are still playing it, granted it's the online mode and not single player, but so we'll see with what Red Dead does, but I think everybody has faith in Rockstar.
I mean, yeah, so, it's Rockstar. I mean, you know what you're getting into, and they have proven themselves over multiple games over many years where you don't really have to worry or question, like, oh, is this going to be... I mean, it's going to be great.
Yeah. If they've waited this long, hype for it's going
to
be good. Online
component to this.
Yeah.
I don't care about it at all. I just want the game.
Yeah. Single player is, yeah, if I really want, I don't think their online is going to come close to comparing to what GTA Online is, and I think that's their personal strategy on that, to not kind of fight against themselves, but yeah, single player all the way, that's what everyone's coming to this game for, most likely. Speaking of single player, another huge single player game comes out November 13th, and that would be Hitman 2. Probably, I'd say... easily one of my most anticipated games for the rest of the year. I think that goes without question for how many hours I spent in playing Hitman 1. Jake, I'm sure you're right there with me.
Oh, yeah. They sold me. They sold me after playing all of Hitman 1.
Yeah.
Pardon me. That game was incredible. Mm-hmm. I did not like the way they released it, so they've...
Well, this is better for you
apparently
now.
Apparently, a lot of people... Yeah.
All at once.
Apparently, a lot of people like that, which I'm fine with. It, you know, that game... I mean, across all the episodes, if there's still that much content in one single game, that was what, like 80 to 100 hours?
Oh, for sure. Like, if you did more. All the challenges and all, like, the assassination, yeah, like, that game gives you a lot of content if you're willing to go for it. Like, yeah, if you just play through each episode once, and yeah, that's not going to be a fun game. That's not kind of like what those games are built for. They're built for playing each level multiple times over. Finding all the cool different ways of assassinations and all the like opportunities, and yeah, those games are built for replayability, not just a one and done type experience.
The trailer they showed though with the race car area, with the racetrack, that looks fucking awesome. I can't imagine the kind of kills you're gonna be able to do.
Oh, I mean, they were like previewing, like, oh, it's like you can like sabotage the race car, and like, oh, it's that game's gonna be incredible. Unfortunately, though, its release date could not have come at a worse time, because a mere one day later, Fallout 76. And shit, like, I don't even think, I can't buy Hitman 2. I can't. There's literally no point. There's literally no point of buying that the day it comes out, because, I mean, Fallout 76 is just going to take over the rest
of the game. Yeah, you might as well wait until, like, the first sale.
Can I talk about Fallout 76 for an hour again?
Yeah, I say, like, how much, I don't think we need to dedicate any more time or hype to this, because I think we're all, like, maximum anticipation for this game, and, yeah, this is just, I mean, this is...
Oh, yeah, this is Owen's
fall. This took my fall and turned it on its head, because I thought it was going to be like, all right.
It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
This is a game that you two are way... It's going to be Horizon Zero Dawn all over again, where, like, you two are super fucking hyped for it, and I'm, like, kind of medium hyped for it. So I love Fallout. I just really want to see how this version plays out.
I don't know how you're medium hyped for what's been already revealed about this game.
I want to see how strong the online components are. I really want to see... how far they go with this, and how
if it's anything like ESO, they do their work. They put effort into it.
What else?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there's still questions I have, but I'm very interested to play it. I'm not going to not get it. I'm not going to not get it.
Sometime soon.
Soon. Someday, I got the email soon, saying
soon.
Keep an eye out.
Yeah. That's. I can't wait. I'd say that pretty much. I mean, fortunately, at least for me personally, that's basically the end of the fall releases. We have two December releases. The first on December 4th, which would be Just Cause 4, and I had a decent time with 3. I mean, there were a lot of performance issues in 3, which were brutal. And it looks like there's a whole new. It's the Avalanche team is working on this. Same people that did Mad Max and. You know, so it looks like we're going to get a new, fresh take on that game, which I think you could use because, I mean, as fun
it's
as those
weird
games...
weird that it's coming out this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I was not expecting an announcement, nor was I expecting it to be this year. I thought if they were going to announce it, I'd be like, oh, it's like 2019 or whatever, but it's like, oh, shit, no, this game's coming out in like 6 months. But
I guess that's the reason they gave it away on PS Plus that month.
It makes
sense now.
I mean,
now.
And... that game, I don't think it did not sell well, nor did it deserve to, because, yeah, that game had a lot of
Three
problems.
Was a step down from 2, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All the performance issues and online leaderboard, like, causing issues just totally killed a lot of interest in that game for me. And then, finally, on December 7th, the final big release of the year, we get Super Smash Brothers Ultimate on Switch.
Yeah,
Smash Brothers.
I'm not that excited for it.
Yeah, I think it's been well known how little I.
You've never care been a Smash Brothers fan, no. Ever?
No. I play the shit out of it. On,
I don't. I
so
don't.
I loved Smash.
I'm not into fighting games in general. Let alone, like, I played Smash a few times, not for me. Like,
you played the hell out of Mortal Kombat.
What are you talking
X
about? You
no,
love Mortal Kombat. Yeah, exactly.
I can count
you love Mortal
on
Kombat.
Two fingers, how many fighting games I like. Mortal Kombat and Tekken. And that's where the list ends, as far as fighting games I get into.
You're
so
not a
if
Super
it's not
Street
one of those,
Fighter 2 fan? How dare you?
No. Street Fighter, no. It's well, I like my games on the basic level of complexity, because once you get into, like, Street Fighter and you got, like, fucking perfect pixel, one pixel parry type supers, and nah, that's a little too advanced for my liking, at least. I like my fighting games simple, because that's my skill level on fighting games is simple. So, yeah, that does it for all the big releases of 2018, which will now move us right into our top fives, which when we pick our five most anticipated games coming out for the remainder of 2018. Who wants to go first?
I'll jump in here with this one.
All right. What
so
do you got?
My honorable mention will be Assassin's Creed Odyssey, because I really liked Origins, and this looks like exactly more of the same, just in a new setting. So I guess that's cool, but I'll get around to it. Number 5 for me is going to be Spider-Man. I'm really interested to see if this game could be more than a Batman clone. Because it's set up to be one. You get the, like we mentioned before, the multiple enemies coming at you in that trailer, and one big one shows up. So we're looking a lot like Batman, but it's Spider-Man. So I'm sure it's going to be a lot more fun with all the swinging around and not gliding around. Because it's totally different when you're swinging around and not gliding around.
Yeah, next it's way more up, fun.
Next up for me is going to be a cross pick here, Madden NHL. Just my sports franchises. After, you know, the Red Wings had the best draft in the history of the NHL draft this past year, I'm kind of excited about hockey. It's been a while since I've actually been looking forward to the season, because I want to see how these kids coming up in the system are. A lot of our first and second rounders are coming around. It's almost time to see what they can do. We've talked enough about Madden, though. I don't need to go into that. We know what that's all about. Number 3 for me is Octopath Traveler. While I don't own a Switch, I know. I don't own a Switch, but this game looks just like such a beautiful throwback game. Combat, just all the different jobs and stuff, and everybody's got their own role to play, and you can follow the story from all these different perspectives as you play. There's 8 different characters you can bounce between and run, so it looks like this is going to be like that RPG that I could just dive in and finish once and maybe not have my game go corrupt or freeze and lock up. Like Chrono Trigger, I could never beat that game.
Maybe if you played it in a
I'm
legitimate
sick of
fashion.
Time, man.
A legitimate fashion.
Well, you want me to go buy a Super Nintendo and the Chrono Trigger cartridge?
I mean, you could just play it on SNES Classic. I had no problems playing it.
Oh, yeah? Does it come on the SNES Classic?
It does, through Magic.
Yeah. That's exactly the opposite of what you... I played it on yours, and it crashed!
I wasn't there to see that, so I don't. I think you made that up.
No, I'm telling you, you can ask Dave and Jeremy. They were sitting right there. I was running in between rooms, and it just froze up, and I got really mad.
Maybe you just aren't meant to finish Chrono Trigger.
That's what I've been saying for years.
No.
I've started.
No, I don't accept
like
that as a
six or
person
seven times, and something
who loves
goes
RPGs and has never played Final Fantasy VI or Chrono Trigger. I find that unacceptable.
So let's remedy this by you playing Final Fantasy VI. There's enough versions
that's
of
fair.
VI out there.
That's
that you can
fair.
Play. Why don't you go play VI
and
then
that, it's the better of the two.
Tell
anyways.
Us that's not the best Final Fantasy. They're different games. I love Chrono Trigger. But,
I mean, we're just
no,
picking.
Final Fantasy VI is the
pick.
Best Final
I'm
Fantasy
picking
game ever.
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, oh yeah,
not
Final
not
Fantasy
slighting VI. Chrono Trigger. I'm just saying you got to pick one.
No,
or
I would agree. Yeah, so go play VI because that's on everything.
Oh shut up.
Play VI.
All right, so yeah, Octopath Traveler looks like a lot of fun. I like the music in it. It looks cute, and I like the depth and the RPG-ness of the game. Number two, Red Dead Redemption 2. I've mentioned this a few times throughout the course of the last decade. Looks like this game is just going to be a beautiful, amazing experience. Just the old West feeling is back, and I would love just more info on the game. I know Rockstar likes to play close to the vest, but come on, guys, give us something.
Come on, that's like, you're going to get a video. We're going to get a story trailer in like August, and then that'll be it.
I know.
That's how that works. That's how Rockstar plays.
That's Rockstar jerks. Number one is Final Fantasy VI.
No way.
I'm going to leave it at that. So, top right, five.
I'm back.
Top five. Number five, Spider-Man. Number four is Madden NHL. Number three is Octopath Traveler. Number two is Red Dead Redemption 2. And number one is Fallout 76.
Okay.
All right, I can go.
All right.
Oh, you go can go on and go. I was that's just going because mine's going to be fast because we talked about everything.
I mean,
already.
That's kind of, I think we're all, we all set our piece all right. about all of our games.
You can go then if you want.
All right, I'll jump in. Number five for me is Battlefield 5. I mean, I think like my brain has been conditioned to just like buy a shooter every year in the fall. And with Black Ops 4, like completely dropping the ball and with unfortunately no signs of Titanfall 3 anywhere. You know, it's going to be Battlefield. Battlefield 5 looks amazing, so it's not like I feel like I'm obligated and I'm not going to enjoy this. I feel like I'm going to have a great time with it, but yeah, I always get sucked in every year, no matter what. There's always a shooter.
I know,
that just
and you try and drag
in.
All of us in there with you. And
I know!
I'm not going to get it because year. We're all still going to be playing Fortnite. And
yeah, maybe. Who knows?
And then, like you said,
that game can go a lot of different ways in 3 months. Who knows?
Two of my biggest hyped games of all time come out within 3 weeks of this one. So.
Yeah, that's a big question mark for me as well. Number four, which is a game we actually did not talk about at all because it does not have an official release date yet, which would be Dead Cells, currently slated for August. That's as far as they've said. This is a... Me and my roguelikes. This is a roguelike Metroidvania. It's been getting a lot of praise on PC. This is when it's going to make its not only... it's in early access right now, so this will be a combination 1.0 release slash console debut. It's coming to everything, Switch, Xbox, PS4, and yeah, this. And I'm a sucker for roguelikes, and when it hits the genre and the play style, you know, kind of like the action Metroidvania style, it's say no more. I'm there. I'm sold. Number three is Hitman 2. I mean, for as many hours as I put into the first game, I'm going to put just as many in the second game. It's just... That unfortunate release date is what really hinders this one for me. Number two is Red Dead Redemption 2. Ben pretty much summed up all my thoughts on this. This has been a long... I don't think I've ever been more anticipated for a Rockstar sequel than this game before. I mean, I've been a fan of GTA since 3. And yeah, I'd say this is the most hyped I've been for one of their sequels. Ever.
I was pretty hyped for Vice City, I think.
When
you heard about all the people who were going to do voices and the soundtrack.
Yeah, I guess I could say this is probably my most hyped since Vice City for sure. Then, if we're going to go with that, because yeah, I think I'm right there with you. Vice City did, especially with how 3 took the world by storm. I think everyone was waiting to see how the sequel to that or the next game in the franchise was going to follow it up. And then just like Ben, number one is Fallout 76, and yeah, there's no more that needs to be said about my anticipation for that game. So going back from the top, number five is Battlefield 5. Number four is Dead Cells. Number three is Hitman 2. Number two is Red Dead Redemption 2. And number one is Fallout 76. What you got, Jake?
All right. So my honorable mention goes to Code Vein. I am cautiously optimistic for this game. From what I saw at LS Stream, I'm very interested. And from what they've described, I'm very interested. So give me anything Soulsy, I'll eat it up. So I assume you're on that train as well.
My oh, yeah.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like, I feel like this is going to be like Neo all over again, where it's like at first I'm kind of a eh, but then once I get it, I know I'm going to love it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Number five is Spider-Man. Provided the movement feels good, I'm all in. I love superhero games when they're done right, so gimme. Number four, like I said, this is going to be really, really quick. It's no problem. Number four is Hitman 2. I absolutely loved the first one. I didn't like the release style, which apparently a lot of people didn't, so now they're giving us a full game at once. So hopefully that doesn't make anything suffer. Do you think that's going to affect anything, Mike?
Not really. I feel like if anything is that would suffer, it would be kind of more of like the bonus challenge kind of content. I feel
which they'll probably just add on with content packs and like, you know, updates.
Yeah, I think the episodic thing was more of like a shake-up move to try to get some more interest in the Hitman franchise.
It worked.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely worked on us, and yeah, if it had been just released as is, I think for a lot of people, releasing it as episodic kind of trained people how to play those games, how they should be played, where it's, like I said before, not just play each level once and be done. No, it's you play each level a lot over and over again, and then, you know, that's how you take each stage of it. It's not just some linear story.
Which makes sense. Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what they were banking on. If you just played every, level once, then you'd be done with that game
probably
in
like 10
hours.
15 hours? Yeah,
at
most, depending on, you know, how difficult you make it for yourself. But yeah,
right.
I don't think in the long run the game is going to suffer for it being released all at once. Because they already said there's already two DLC packs planned for the future.
And they've been working on it for a while,
right.
I assume, especially
that
with how
well.
They were...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, staged releases in the first one. So yeah, they've probably been on this for a while. So that's number three, or number what was that number? That was number four. Shit, I lost my Spider-Man was
number
five. Okay, that was number four. Number three, and this is where you guys can start hating me. Number three is Fallout 76. Again, I'm not
I'm just
that
surprised
hyped,
it's on your list. I'm not even gonna complain. I thought you were gonna leave
it
off. Try to
it wasn't
hot
originally.
Take over here.
It wasn't originally. Yeah.
Again,
you were
summoned
to Destiny. I don't get how this is like so far down your list. This is gonna. Like,
you think Fallout 76 is gonna be like Destiny?
In the fact that you play with your friends online and like make yourself
a
better player.
Look, I love Fallout. I really do. But I guess 3 was like the peak of my Fallout love, and I guess from there it's just kind of been a downslope. I liked 4. It's just. I don't know. I'm ready for Fallout 5. I didn't need this kind of spin-off. Again, I'm cautiously optimistic. It might be my game of the year. Who knows? But, like, I want to see what it's actually going to be. That's all. I just want to see. It's still on my top 5. I'm still excited for it.
Yeah. That's what surprises me.
Again, you guys are going to be... my test, essentially. Like, I'm probably still going to get it day one, but you guys are going to be what I base off my feeling. Like, because you guys are such big Fallout fans, I trust your judgment on these games. So if you guys tell me it's good, I'm all in.
The big thing for me, and this is with every game like this that comes out, how fast do I get to the end, and what is there to do at the end?
I guess the big talking point for this, well, right, how what end game is there, and especially if this is an online game. But, well, in a Fallout universe, I can imagine them creating a lot. This could turn into a whole discussion. I guess my point is, I want to see what this new format brings. I'm very interested, but I'm, you know, I want to see. You guys are all in already.
I want to have to kind of invest in this. Like, I don't want to be able to just get from one point to another, like, easily. Like, I want to have to fight through some shit to get to another.
Well, if it's a Fallout game, I'm sure you'll have to.
Big point on the map. Right. But, and that's the thing. I want to work for shit. I mean, in these kind of games these days, you don't have to work for anything. You just button mash your way, and it's like, oh, here's your reward.
Well, level of for a lot of games, that's true. I mean, I guess my biggest anticipation for this is how it's going to play with friends. Because Fallout with friends sounds really interesting. So right.
That's like, forward to. And there's a right, lot of that's teamwork the, aspects in there as well.
And that's the biggest part of why this is on my list. Is like, I'm excited for being able to play Fallout together. Because I've played enough Fallout single player. I want to see what this is going to offer. But yeah, again, that's why it's the middle of my list. You guys are more hyped for it. I'm hyped, but I'm not full. Number two is Red Dead Redemption 2. I loved Red Dead. It's definitely one of my favorite Rockstar games. And, I mean, we've said enough about it. We've been waiting for it forever. And, surprise, surprise, number one is Kiwami 2, because wow. Yakuza is the second Shocker. Best... Oh, by the way, I've played this game already, and I still. I know,
that's
put it
why I'm even more
one.
Surprised that yeah, because you've already.
It's
played
It's one of
this
the best
game.
Yakuza stories. Hey, look, here's the thing: Yakuza over the past year has become my second favorite gaming franchise behind Metal Gear Solid. I think it's some of the best storytelling.
I don't know, man. I think it's become your favorite.
No, Metal Gear Solid will always be number one for me. Kojima's two.
Will it talking.
When you talk about...
Don't make me do this, Ben.
When you talk about Yakuza, you really get into it. Like, we've talked about Metal Gear.
It's because I played it recently.
You're really ho-hum
about it's because... It. That's not true. I've talked about three... Don't do this to me, Ben. Don't make me betray Metal Gear. No. They're very different franchises, too. And I've also played Yakuza recently. Like, when's... I'm trying to think. Like, when we played 5, Metal Gear 5... I enjoyed it. When I replayed 4, I praised the shit out of it on the podcast. I mean, look, if I go back and play 3, 2, or 1, I'm going to praise it just as much. It's been a while, and we never bring up Metal Gear topics. Yakuza is in the recent memory, so it's still number 2. It could maybe rival Metal Gear. They're like 1 and 1A. They're incredible games. But putting it at number 1, these games are incredible, and everybody should play them. And now that they're being more accessible to everybody, seriously, play these games. So, 5-1, Spider-Man, with honorable mention going to Code Vein, Spider-Man at number 5, Hitman 2 at number 4, Fallout 76 at number 3, Red Dead Redemption 2 at number 2, and Yakuza Kiwami 2 at number 1.
All right. That is going to do it for this week's episode. Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
Jake, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at FetTheAssassin.
And you can find me on Twitter at JustSurvive, on Twitch at TheJustSurvive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWMPod. We also have our website, NWMPod.com, which has links to all of our contact info, links to all of our past episodes, and of course you can subscribe on our website, on iTunes, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher Radio, or on your podcast app of choice, in which we always ask that you go and leave us a review and let us know what you think of the show. Because each and every week, we thank you for listening. And until next time, take care.
Peace.
See ya. Yeah.